Yay, mask is gone. Temporarily. So I'm going to make two statements right now. Most of you are going to go, duh. But the Lord uses people. There you go. And God operates on a far more expansive realm, shall we say, than we can think of. These are two duh statements. As Christians, we've seen it in play since we became Christians. Prior to that, it was your own thought process, your own thought patterns, what you observed and that which you observed and went, well, that's really weird, but I can't explain it. Now, as we become Christians, we go, oh, there's God. There's a God. And you go, that God, as you believe, created the universe. And that means that he operates on an infinite, shall we say? That's an understatement. On an infinite scale. So it's really fun and awkward to preach on Acts 3. So it's okay. Thanks. You didn't want them looking at my back? It's quite all right. So I'm actually going to start in Acts 2. So if you have your Bibles, please open them with me to Acts 2 or your phones. We're actually going to start at verse 43. Okay. I'm also going to be keeping this very short today. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Okay? That's actually all I wanted to read out of Acts 2. Now, we jump to Acts 3. This is titled, at least in my Bible, Peter Heals the Crippled Beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have, or I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Miracles are kind of a big deal. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them, or at what had happened to him. If you have your Bibles, please open to Mark chapter 6. We're going to start at the second part of verse 6. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Drop down to verse 12. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The reason I jumped back to Mark and the reason I went back to chapter 2 in Acts is that the apostles were doing miracle stuff. I'm not going to say all the time or regularly, but it's not new to them. They've done this before. They've been moved, and God has given them the power and answered their prayers previously. So what my, shall I say, my hesitancy or my awkwardness at preaching chapter 3 in Acts is that what we've heard so often is, well, Peter and John went up and they were just authoritative and did this, and everybody's shocked that the crippled man is healed. And it's like, well, why don't we do this, and why don't we stand forth and call people to be healed like that? Part of it, I believe, is that we are very narrow-focused. I know I am. I'll admit that freely. I've got my predetermined, my preset ways of thinking, and it's like, I'll allow for God to operate in that and push them a little bit, but being completely open to what the Lord has, that pushes me a lot of times. And I have seen the Lord operate in miracles. That's the funny thing. I've seen miracles. What's holding me back? Why am I not operating consistently in the idea and the notion that this is physical? God is outside of physical. God rules over physical. So if I'm asking for something, the physical is not a problem for God. Now, whether he chooses to answer my prayers or operate in the way I think, that's up to him. That is his prerogative, being God. But my operation as his child, stepping into it, going, God, I'm seeing a problem here. Will you change this problem that I believe is a problem? Sometimes he goes, you got it. I can do that. Sometimes he goes, uh-uh. I can do it, but uh-uh. He's got other plans. He's got other reasons. And it can be as far as healing somebody who's been crippled from birth. It can be as severe and as extreme as that. But it doesn't always have to be. It can be other things that you look at and go, there's no reason this should happen this way. But the Lord steps in, intervenes, and it changes. And you go, that's a miracle. By definition, that is a miracle. That which should not happen or cannot happen does. God operates outside of our possibilities. So one of my experiences is totally stupid. You guys are going to look at this or listen to this and go, are you kidding me? Probably 30, let's see, this is 21. So probably 30 years ago, 31 years ago, I was involved in discipleship with Adam. Many of you guys know Adam, Pastor Emeritus here, lives in Hawaii, preached here, started this church, been around for a while. And he's online today. I was at our discipleship. It was actually over at Kenny Ott's house. And Diana Dill at the time was also there. Yeah, tells you how long it's been. 31 years doesn't register sometimes, but then you go, oh, wow, that was before they were even married. Mm-hmm. So we were over at their house, and Adam and I were going to go see Tom Dunn's band. Actually, the three guys in the band attended Faith Worship, actually at the time as disciples, attended fairly regularly. Tom was regular. The other two were kind of hit and miss. So they had a band called the Shekinah Brothers. I'm like, yeah, we're going to go see them. This is a Tuesday night, I think. That's when our discipleship was on Tuesdays. That's why I remember it. So, yeah, we're going to go up to L.A. We're going to see them. thing is, discipleship ended somewhere around 8. It's supposed to end somewhere around 8 o'clock, right? Tom's band goes on at 9 o'clock at the Coconut Teaser. The discipleship was actually just right over here, over off College Street. That's a long drive. Discipleship didn't end on time. That's not really a surprise. I'm not speaking to Adam necessarily, but us as well. I mean, people have questions. You get on a train of thought, and you get on a train of question and answers, and you want to keep it going because it's productive and it's good. Adam then had to go over to his brother's house, who lived a couple blocks away. So I was riding with him, so we went over to Mark's house. He did whatever he needed to do, got back in the car, Adam's old van, his old Toyota, and looked at the clock. It was 8:45. Wow. In my head, in reality, dude, forget about it. Let's not even go. They're supposed to go on in 15 minutes. We're not even going to be on the 405 in 15 minutes. We were, but let's pray. Okay. He's driving, so he can't pray. He could. He can multitask. But I prayed. My prayer, this is not verbatim, but you'll get the idea. Lord, you know this is impossible. We can't get up there in time for their start time. I asked that the sound guy would be drunk or something. that there would be a delay and that we could get up there and still see them. We got up there in about 45 minutes, which is, it's good driving. I mean, it's honestly, it's not really that far. It just seems far because traffic slows you down to stupid speeds. 405, the 5, it doesn't matter. 5, by the way, the 5 is the only freeway I've ever been in a traffic jam where I'm stopped and stuck at 2:30 in the morning. Yeah, and it was completely, like, it was miles of just stuck. Okay, but anyway, we get up there. We come walking up, pay our cover charge, totally expecting to just see Tom and the other guys go, so, how was your set? We see Tom and the other guys, so, how was your set? We're about to go on. Really? Yeah, there were some issues. The sound guy was drunk. I'm not saying that God answered my prayer that way. I was working as a roadie for another band, so I worked up in LA quite often, and I knew that that was a very distinct possibility. But there is irony in the fact that it's like a sound guy is not supposed to be drunk. This is how he makes his living. If he does the bands wrong, he don't have a job. If the bands don't go on time, he doesn't have a job. If the bands don't go on time, the bands don't get to play. So there was a lot for all the different people writing on this, but my focus was, I want to go see the Shekinah Brothers. God answered that. Miracle? I don't know about that, but I would definitely put it into the God's got bigger plans and bigger sight than I do, and it happened that he honored my prayer in very weird ways, too, in very specific ways. So there are those times in very important matters. The elders were praying for Angie Hefner. I can say this because it is public knowledge. She had some very severe, extreme severe female reproductive cancerous issues. We prayed for her. A bunch of people were praying regularly for her. We prayed for her. We went up to the house. anointed her with oil, laid hands on her, prayed very, very specifically. She was also pregnant at the time, being advised to term the pregnancy, not to carry through due to these issues. Again, very specific prayers. The Lord honored those prayers. Again, miracles. Selah's healthy. And she's had kids after Selah. And she keeps having kids, or kept having kids. The Lord blessed her. The Lord blessed her body and her physical ability to do that. She should not be able to do that. There is absolutely no physical reason that that should happen. This is outside of our conception as reality. No doctor would give her the thumbs up to even conceive again when all of them were saying, no, you need to term. God is a lot bigger than our thought processes. Even though we were saying, okay, Lord, pray, please heal her. Please heal her. Let her have this baby. Let this go. God's ideas and thought processes are huge, and they're so much bigger than us. Who knows what Selah is going to do in her life, or how her life is going to affect others? Who knows how her little brother, who shouldn't be around either, is going to affect others? Who knows? That's God's thought processes, far, far, far bigger. But us, we need to operate when the Lord moves us. I wonder, now this is 21st century thinking, but I wonder what Peter and John saw. They've had their experience of, I know God can do this, but when somebody walks up to somebody, and I'm going to use Allie. Walk. I mean, now, I just left off the most important part, in the name of Jesus. But that process of walking up to somebody, look at me, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That process, I want to know what was going on in their head. I've had previous experiences with the Lord answering prayers and the Lord doing miraculous things. That is not a thought process that regularly jumps into my head when I see somebody in a wheelchair. It just doesn't. A lot of times I'll passively pray for them and say, Lord, I ask that you'd heal them, meet their needs. But do I walk up to them and go, in the name of Jesus, walk? I want to know what they were seeing inside their heads, what the Spirit put on their heart. Did they walk up and go, there's like this green flashing light above this guy going, do this guy. He's ready. I don't know. Or did they walk by? Beggars, it wasn't just one person a lot of times. Especially, has anybody ever been to 7-Eleven? All right. It's not just one person, right? One homeless person going, got change? A lot of times there's multiples. The entrance to the temple courts very well could have been that way, or the gate. It's where people pass by. That's where people, they're going to get their money. Why not the other people? Why not someone else? I want to know what they saw. I want to know what the Spirit said. Hey, this is the guy. Okay. So we focus on Peter and John very often and go, oh yeah, these guys are rocking it. But again, God uses people. God's plans, and God operates in far larger realms than we even think of. What about the guy that got healed? He was getting carried out there to go earn his keep, essentially. Here, you need to make some money. You're eating our food, you're staying in our home, and we need some more money. The rest of us go earn it, but you need to do this. So he's out there. He gets carried out there because obviously he can't walk. He's just going out to earn his living. Okay. Money. Money. Look at us. Okay. Money. Can I get something? Now that I'm actually looking at you eye to eye, face to face. Then Peter and John. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm looking for some denarii. Give me some change. Walk? Are you kidding me? I've been crippled since birth. And you're telling me to get up. What have you been smoking? Okay. Miracle works the other way too. Not just the people who are doing it, but the person who's getting it. He wasn't even seeking it. He's just there. Money. Change. Spare change. God operates on a far, far larger scale than we can even imagine. That was the first part of chapter 3. The second half of chapter 3, right there, goes into it even more, which we'll be covering next week. But it's just the idea. Broaden your scope if you're thinking about God. Because as big as you think, you scratched the smallest part of the surface of him. Again, change. How are you as you go about your daily lives? God says, get up and walk. Do you? Okay. And his appropriateness after that was amazing too. It's like, okay, I'll get up and walk. And then he starts dancing and jumping around. And it's like praising God. Hey, I just got healed. He realizes what happened. He was moved. God stepped into his situation. I don't know if he was looking for it. I don't know if he was a devout Jew. Doesn't say anything about it. But he was there. God said, okay, this is the guy. This time. Okay. So, as Christians, we're already being used. We are allowed to be used because when we became Christians, we said, okay, God, I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to you. So what that means is since I belong to you, you get to use me in the way you want to use me. I would encourage you to continue listening to the Spirit, the Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is inside of you, that prompts you to do stuff, to say things that honor and glorify the Lord. Through practice, through repetition, through seeing and experience, I'm not going to say it becomes easier, but it adds to your experiences. Again, the apostles had already gone out and done this. And just in the previous chapter, it states that miraculous signs were occurring. They were happening. So they were seeing these things. When you see these things, it sure seems a lot easier to operate in. So be open to these things. Be open to God and his expansiveness as opposed to your narrowness, my narrowness, because John and Peter get up and walk. Did they see all the other things that were happening or going to occur because of that statement? Because of them calling the guy out in Jesus' name to be healed? Did they figure or think 2,000 years later they would be written about and that story would be written about and has been preached how many millions of times or hundreds of millions of times? Even though we don't know what happened to the guy after his jumping around and woohoo, it's like, and the next part of the chapter, we know that the Lord healed him. How do you operate and what's your scope? Now, that was the sermon. As has been mentioned, today is an honorary type day and a day of honoring to somebody who has scope, who has God's scope in a lot of ways, and sometimes far, far more than any of us can imagine. We are honoring Sue today for her years of service and her movement, shall we say, onto the next phase and part of her life. In case you didn't figure out, the call to worship this morning was not an accident. It was very much intended to elicit and to allow for you to know some of the things that Sue has done in a general sense. She is a woman of character. She's a woman of age. And that's awesome. I want to get to be her age. Sometimes it may not seem like it, but I do. And she's got years of experience in interacting with the Lord. Some of her stories are heartbreaking. Some of them are breathtaking. Some of them are just downright amazing, and you're going, God did that again through you? I can see that. She is faithful. She is devout. She is strong. She is consistent. That's one thing I absolutely know of consistency is her prayer life is probably the most consistent thing I've ever seen in anybody's life. That's including all of you and myself included. She is consistent. She prays for all of us. That's all of us and many others. She's got her lists. Well, I haven't seen the actual names specifically. I've seen her lists, and they are long. Like, she'll go, because you can't see this. It's like, okay, there's that, there's that, there's that, there's that. And it's like page after page after. It's like, these are people she prays for. And wow. Okay. So, Sue, would you like to come up and say something? I would love to hear what you have to say today. If you need to sit, you can, and don't push forward on this because it's slightly it's slightly imbalanced, like I am.
Wow, well, it's good to be here to see all of you. I haven't been able to come because of COVID and got my vaccine, and but I knew I had to come today to be able to see you personally to say that I'm on to the next stage. You know, I came here, or hi, Adam.
I'm going to start crying now. Sorry. It was 87 or 88 that I walked into Pam and Bruce Price's house. I worked with Tracy, their daughter, and thank you, and met Adam and started going to his Bible study. That's 87 years ago, 1987, how many years is that? Lots of years. And I was a divorced mother of two and pretty broken, trying to get stronger with the Lord. I'd been with the Lord, but was just really struggling. And I was welcomed and embraced and found a home, a Christian home. So for the last, those many years, this has been my home base. This has been my foundation. And the Lord gave me a scripture that says in Isaiah 33, He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and a wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And so I'm so grateful. I could have gone the way of many, you know, divorced single moms to just continue to be broken. But the Lord brought me through stages of healing and restoration and strengthening. And this church has been a big part of that. This has been my mainstay. And so I'm so grateful and thankful. So it's not, has not been an easy decision, but I knew that it was time for me to move on. I get to graduate, wherever my sign is. I get to graduate. I live in Leisure World, which is a retirement community in Seal Beach, and everybody's over 55, my age, my speed. And there's active churches there, and I have been attending a Bible study there for quite a while. Even when I was here during the week, I'd go to Bible study there, and there's the Assembly of God is real active, and there's several churches there. So I feel it's time for me to make that transition. I'm moving on. I'm graduating. I get to go to the senior class finally after so many years. But it's not been easy. It's not been easy. But it's I feel it's good. It's right. It's purposeful. And it's healthy. It's a healthy thing for me spiritually. And the desire I have for faith worship community as you continue, Paul says in Colossians 2, it says, my goal is that they may be encouraged. And I would say that my hope is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's no other place that you're going to find what you need in your life except through Jesus. I'm testimony of that. I can testify to that. And he, like Danny said, it's never small with God. It might be daily, it might be a little bit at a time, but it's never small. And it's always just what you need, and he always gives you everything that is needed by you. He feeds you, he takes care of you, he leads you and guides you, he gives you fellowship, he gives you community. And so there's never a lack with the Lord. So I have no regrets that I was able to be a faith worship community for these many, 35, I think it's 35 years. And I look forward to hearing more how the Lord is moving and working in this body. And I look forward to developing new relationships with the new church. But to always take this foundation that God gave me for 35 years onto the next, my next class, my senior class. I praise the Lord for you. I praise the Lord for this church. And I bless the Lord and glorify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done in my life. That's it. I made it through.
Most of you guys know Adam, Dr. Adam Ayers, yeah. Pastor Emeritus. He is here. and we're going to put him on the screen, and he has a few words that he'd like to share. And so do you want to sit here, or do you want to be up there?
Sit here. Okay. Can I sit here?
I think it's funny that he said, Adam has a few words to share. Would you like to sit? You know, not the discipleship goes long either. But Sue, thinking about saying something to you as you shift into emeritus status is really hard. It's like trying to put the ocean in a teacup, you know? Trying to put the ocean in a teacup, you know? There's just so much there. Like you say, it was 86, 86, 87. Yeah, 35 years. The funny thing about, because everyone's mentioning faithfulness, and that's true. The funny thing about faithfulness is it's boring. Like the big sign, patience behind you, you know? I think it's funny you're sitting in front of a big sign that says patience. Faithfulness only expresses over time. You can't see it when it begins. You can't see patience when it begins. And it does the same thing for a long time, which makes it boring. And in some ways, your ministry has been glorious because it has been boring. It's been boring to you because you have done the same thing over and over and over again. But it's that consistency that shows through to everybody. It's Jesus is not going to say, well done, good and successful servant. He's not going to say, well done, good and flashy servant. Well done, good and impressive servant. Well done, good and servant who followed your passions everywhere all over the globe. He's not going to say, well done, you know, servant of miracles. That's not what he's going to say. The one thing that matters to Jesus is, were you faithful? And the fun thing is, all that faithfulness can never be taken away from you. You have already done it. It's established. All of those moments. I don't know what meetings there would look like without you sitting in them. I don't know what faith worship would be without your intercession. I'm stoked that you're going to be there. You know, I knew this, that you're going to be there as an emeritus. I knew this really wonderful Christian lady who lived at Leisure World and who prayed from a distance and supported the ministry at FWC. I know this isn't relevant for everybody there, but she was your neighbor. She was my grandmother. That was a woman I admired because she was so faithful. And showed Christ in that. You know her. One of the things I admired the most about her was that all of my lifetime, I'd never heard her say something ill of someone. I want to tell you, Sue, I have known you for 35 years. and watched you walk through fire and through sewage, through incredibly painful things, through destruction around you, through losses. I have never once heard you say something ill of someone. I have never once seen you act with malice. I have never once seen you act out of selfishness. I've never seen you seek your own. I've always seen you fight for hope. And that has been weary. Your soul, your heart has not been up to it many times. But you did it anyway. You held to hope and you held to the Lord. And you held to those around you. And you acted in goodwill. And you were faithful, faithful, faithful. And you have meant the world to me during the course of my ministry. And I just want to say, you know, even though my grandmother was shorter than you, you're as tall as she is. I want to read you something that you're familiar with. Okay. I can't hear you. I can only hear my side, but I'm going to say, you know. This is you, Sue. If I speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, but don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, and I have knowledge and I have faith so as to move mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all my all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. But it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. And Sue, you have embodied love. You've loved FWC, you loved disciples, you loved all the people, you loved the community, you've loved the Lord. You've shown what it is to love the Lord. And thank you for that. And I want to say, I love you. FWC loves you. People that have passed through the doors love you. But you loved first. You've been consistent and faithful. And thank you. May the Lord bless you. And I know you're going to stay connected, but as you shift, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord establish your steps. May the Lord keep you faithful until you pass that line. You've been strong. You've done a great job. You've been amazing. You know, obviously, I will never see somebody do that 35 years again. Guess I ain't going to be here. You know, I ain't going to make that. So, That's just stunning. I so admire you. And it's been great to walk with you all these years. That's it. You don't have to sit down. You know. See, I didn't go too long. Danny can make it to the concert.
Awesome. Sue is graduating to be a senior. If you didn't catch that joke, she decided she wanted to graduate. That's how she introduced this whole thing to us. I'm so thankful, Adam, that you shared. Thank you very much, because the scope of it is, again, didn't intend that to be the topic, but it's true. You know, just to kind of have that sense. You have taught me so much about how to walk through life, how to deal with things, how to interact with all kinds of things. And for someone who, in some ways, you were a rock star, and it was the middle of your brokenness. Right? A lot of you guys know Mike Warnke is somebody who I listened to growing up as a little kid. And for Sue to be at our church, I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And she's like reeling from all of the broken pain and loss of going and dealing with what stuff that you had to deal with that you've shared with some. And if you want to know, you gotta buy her lunch at least. But suffice it to say that just for your compassion and your gentleness and your willingness to sit with me and walk with me and not, like Adam said, I mean, you said nothing ill ever in that regard. You introduced me to him. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, hey, yeah, this guy, and da-da-da-da, and you know, like, and then to go, even other heartbreaks, but to walk us as a church how to grieve the losses that you've had to go through is such an honor and such a blessing. But you've also shown us great joy. You've also partied with us. You've been at weddings. You've been, we've got a great picture of you dancing at our wedding. It's awesome to be able to be a part of this. And I feel still such a junior in the middle of it. So it's just great to be here and to be a part of this. And what we want to do, and we've talked about this, we've already asked you, but Danny and I want to bestow on you and ask for you. And I want to do this in a more formal way. Danny, as head elder, can you want to sit here? Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I want to present to you this woman of God as our elder emeritus. I would like to bestow on her the honor and all the privileges that would come with that. As one who has walked faithful and served Jesus and taught us how to seek him and how to pursue him with everything they have. And so with that, I present to the elders, formally you guys have voted. I don't know if he's on. Are you on?
Yes, I am.
We have voted along with staff. We have agreed that the emeritus position is viable and realistic, and I will concur with Brad's sentiments as you remaining with us as an elder emeritus. By the way, what that means for you guys is that she still has the badge of an elder. She just doesn't have to do all the other regular work stuff at this point, which is a great big... Yeah, but she is still carrying the badge. She still has the authority of an elder.
Elder Susan Lee Warnke, on this day, the 30th of May, 2021, in the city of Costa Mesa, in the state of California, we bestow on you the title of Elder Emeritus. On behalf of Faith Worship Community, we bestow on you the title of Elder Emeritus, recognizing over 30 years, apparently it's 35, so even more. We could have put another number in there, of extraordinary service. As a foundational member of Disciples Church and Faith Worship Community, your life, growth, and commitment to God's purposes have demonstrated your love and care for this community. Your hands-on ministry has extended beyond our specific body as a witness of Christ's love to your immediate family and neighbors, including your work through inner healing, discipleship, and intercessory prayer. Your selfless and relentless dedication reflects the highest standards of the faith in Jesus Christ and are a credit to you, this church, and his kingdom for his glory. It says here, to let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially for those who labor in preaching and teaching. It's 1 Timothy 5:17. Thank you. Now we're going to send her, and we're going to transfer her membership. So with that, we're going to formally graduate you. Service, your duties here are finished. And I was thinking about this verse for you, if I may. This is 2 Timothy, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, but I want to rephrase it a little bit and say this. As for Sue, one of the things I remember I don't know how many years ago, how much being poured out like a drink offering. It says, as for Sue, you are already being poured out as a drink offering, a libation. And the time of your departure has come. I have fought the good fight. It says, you have fought the good fight. You have finished the race. You have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give you on that day. And not only on you, but on all who have longed for his appearing. So if you want to surround her, feel free. Move this a little bit.
I'll put this down.
Come on up. We're going to pray together. Let's bring it
that way.
Yeah, you're fine.
You want to extend your hand, that's fine as well.
Yeah, we're the whole church.
There's room at the altar.
Yes, that's right.
Danny's going to anoint you.
Sue, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, the example of faithfulness is here. She is before us. You have sustained her. We're not silly to think that just some lady is able to do these things. It is your spirit. It is your invasion in her life. Your calling. Not just to pour her out for us, but to make her your beloved daughter. To remind her that you see her, that you care for her, that you hold her in the palm of your hand, and that she has never left your sight. You have seen her. You have never hidden your face. Your tears have cried with her tears. Your laughs have echoed with her laughter. And now, God, you're going to go with her. She's got many more years to go. You have another calling. You have another assignment for her. This is not, it's not a funeral. It's just simply a decommissioning or a transfer. And so in that, God, will you sustain her for the rest of these days? Will your spirit live in her? Will it animate her and get her through the day that she needs to get through to fulfill what you ask and call of her? May they be simple, somewhat trite things, or huge, grand, and glorious things. We don't know what that is, what's before her, but we know that in your economy, it doesn't matter. Again, that's been stated over and over. It's just simply the faithfulness to do what you put in front of her. So we just commission her to that. We release her to that. We ask you to establish her steps in that way. And we ask all of these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to go anywhere, but Robin is going to do the benediction. So I'm going to step out of the way of this microphone and let you come up. And
hi, Sue.
Hi. Can I sit
here? Yeah, please do. Do you want to benedict with me?
Yeah.
We talked about this.
Yeah,
is
we
the
did.
Thing.
Yeah.
So you're a part of this.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Sue, I don't know if I'd be married without you. You helped Tim get that ring so he would propose. There's so much, Sue.
He would have found you.
He would have found me.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna read that and then if you want at the end, then press that. I'm gonna give them their ID. Okay. All right. I'm gonna give you guys your ID. Don't leave without your ID. Never leave home without it. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's your ID. That's who you are.
Yes, yes.
You can bless them.
Yes. Lord, I just ask for mercy on this body of Christ. We thank you that we are identified with you. We want to know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, but to know you more. So bless this church. Go and be at peace and walk in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Thanks, Robin. It's really sweet that we got to do it together.
It was good.
It worked out well.